Several years ago, about 10 years ago, I was recovering from being homeless, guilt-ridden because I had two children with me that were also homeless, and wanted to make up for that, which obviously you can't do that. They've already lived it. It's in their brains. It's stuck there, right? And ended up with a settlement and used not a large portion, but too much of a portion, going to Disneyland for 10 days. Put no barriers on myself, which was a big mistake. This week on Waking Lions, it's our 12th episode, and we're not just going to talk about money management, even though the vast majority of us need that, for sure. We're also going to talk about dealing with money in a subliminal way so that you're not consciously having to stop and make those decisions. The decision I didn't make. My name is MJ Brewer. And today I'm going to share with you some of my personal experiences, some that you may relate to yourself even. Some errors that I've made with money that maybe you saved yourself from making, and some subliminal ways that we can actually sidestep those errors. So, with my situation, as I said, I think we ended up spending, it was over $10,000 in as many days. I think about that scariness, $1,000 a day. From homeless to penniless. Which is almost homeless, but not homeless. Bad moves, right? Because I didn't have the financial education that I needed. And a lot of times when we come into money, especially when we're kind of living hand to mouth and we've become accustomed to that, we just think, I've got this money now, like an income tax return time. When you get that money and you're like, okay, I've really wanted whatever, a trip, a car, a new outfit, a whole bunch of new outfits, whatever it is that you want, but you can't afford it any other time of year except your income tax return time. And when that time comes around, you wait with bated anticipation for months even, right? Some people, even around the holidays the year before, and it's not, this is not me, but only because I didn't have a credit card at the time. I know of people who have gone out around Thanksgiving or just before Thanksgiving and gone Christmas shopping and blown their credit card to the fullest because they figure they can make the base payments until their income tax return comes, and then they'll use that income tax return to pay off their credit card. And that may work, it may not, but if something were to happen to them between that period of time of Christmas, New Year's, and their income tax check coming back, let's say they fall and get hurt. Maybe they're hiking one weekend and they fall and break their arm, and their job has to do with their arms, right? And they can't do their job. They're not going to be getting workman's comp for that. So that throws a wrench totally in the works. and that's going to mess everything up. And we don't plan for things. We never plan for things that we don't expect to happen, because we find that that doesn't usually benefit us at the moment. And I know I'm playing some people's song when I say that. So being able to do things subliminally would be a huge deal for me had I had that ability at the time. Because after my vacation, I came back home and I hadn't spent all of the money, but I did spend more than I should have, by far. We ended up at the Californian, which is a hotel right there on the grounds. We got first entrance before anybody else. You know, we got to go in the park first. It was right there on the site. We ate at the nicer restaurants. I mean, I really, I'd say outdid myself, but I really outdid myself, like, in a bad way. We bought all kinds of Mickey Mouse ears and shirts and little, we each bought our own little radio controlled car. I mean, we just kind of went nuts, and it was such a bad idea. So when I got back, we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot. And we'd been gone 10 days. And suddenly it seemed like, it really did seem like, all of the places I owed money to, like, they put their heads together, right? And decided that while I was gone, they were going to decide how much money I owed and, like, triple it. And then all of them were going to send me letters on the same day saying, you know, MJ, you owe us this money right now. And so it felt like I got this barrage of mail. And when I opened the mailbox, like, letters were sticking out the sides of the box, is what it seemed like. And everybody wanted money yesterday. And it wasn't a very good feeling. It kind of took the wind out of my sails from the vacation. And that's not something you want to load on, you know, little kids that are like 5 and 9 years old. And I'm a single parent, and that was a lot of stress that I put on myself, because I wanted to do something for them, but I wasn't doing anything for them by being a wreck. So my daughter was out on her bicycle, pedaling around, and she comes running in the front door. Excuse me. And she had a bill in her hand. Not one of the bills I was dreading. Not one of those. But like a bill. She found it in the gutter in front of the house. So we had no idea really of whose it was. We couldn't return it or anything like that. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I could use that money and pay off one of the bills. I could use that money and buy groceries. I could use, you know, all these things I could use that money for. But then I thought, it's not my money. I didn't find it. It's Nikki's money. She found it. She should reap the rewards. But she's 5. And she has no concept of money. What do 5-year-olds have a concept of? They have a concept of toys, right? They have a concept of pizza. And that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to go to like Chuck E. Cheese or Jungle Jim's or one of those pizza places where you go with your family and have pizza, and then they play games, and you probably have one of those places near you. And so that's what we did. We went there, got a whole bunch of tokens. Oh yeah. Yeah, that money didn't last very long. A couple hours maybe, it was gone. And I had just left my house. And the mailbox full of bills. To go out and celebrate finding $50 in the gutter. Isn't that just totally wackadoo? And so, you know, the best teachers are the ones that have been there and done that. And I don't say that with pride, believe me. But I have learned some very valuable lessons. And at the time, as I said before, if I had had the subliminal messages, the energy that I put toward that, oh, wow. It'd be awesome. If I had taken that $50 of Nikki's and told her I was going to put it away and save it for her and put it in a college fund for her or some sort of a savings fund or something like that. Even stocks, right? Save up $3,000 and do Vanguard, something like that. But I could have put that $50 away for her. And even putting $10 away each month, and now it would be 10 years, now she's 15. Well, she'll be 16 in a couple months. That would be $1,200. So if I had done twice that, if I had done $20 a month, $20 a month, that's nothing. Or $30 a month. $50 a month. Using my own lessons that I've learned on myself, because I'd be able to save money. Imagine putting that in a bank for her for later and then telling her that the initial money that started that account was money she put in there herself. Can you imagine how great that would make her feel? That she started her own college education? Amazing. So, I'm going to be right back after this message. And I want you to just think about some of the ways you've maybe used money in not such a beneficial way. And some of the things that maybe should have been benefited from that money. And we're not going to stew about it because the past is the past. But we are going to learn about how we're not going to let that happen again. So when I come back, have some answers ready for yourself. Hey, welcome back to Waking Lions, where I'm going to try and attempt to wake your lions. But the truth of the matter is, I will not be waking your lions. I'll give you the tools to awaken your own lions. So moving forward, what we're going to talk about now, because we've already talked about the basic scenario of you get a bunch of money, you blow it all at once, right? Like the people that win the lotto or get these income tax returns and don't know what to do with it. It's like giving a 16-year-old a Lamborghini and a set of car keys with no driving lessons and saying, here you go, have a good time. We wish we had the money for a Lamborghini, right? But you get the idea of what I'm talking about. Giving something to someone that seems awesome, but they have no idea how to use it in a way that's truly beneficial to them, or in the way that they can get the most out of it. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, so what we need to do is first figure out the way to communicate with ourselves about money. There are many, many programs out there for saving money, and so many free ones that can help you also learn to save money. You can go to, for example, https://faircredit.org/classes-events/. And learn about spending plans and saving workshops, credit and debt workshops. And these really work. They go through a bunch of different scenarios, and it just really opens the door to thinking, yeah, I don't like to do that with money either. But some of the things you can do, aside from conditioning yourself, because really, subliminal messages, hypnosis, mindfulness, all of those things, all of them, really, even seeing a counselor, anything like that, all focus in on the same thing. What do you think that is? It's conditioning your mind. It's forming habits, right? Now, counseling kind of has you look inward, thinking things through, having you answer aloud and speak with someone about what you feel like you should be doing differently to change things in the direction you'd like them to change. That's what counseling does. Writing in journals is also beneficial, but in that regard, you're actually talking to yourself. You know, you're reading what you're writing down, and that works for a lot of people. Even songs sometimes. Now, I wouldn't write a song about, you know, being broke and owing Joe Schmo some elaborate amount of money. But people have written songs about being poor, don't get me wrong, and they've been big sellers. Probably makes them a lot of money. But there's so many ways to express needing money or being lost, even due to the effects of not having what seems like, my fingers are quoting in the air, enough money. When the fact of the matter is, you probably do have enough money. You're just sending it out in the wrong directions, or maybe at the wrong time. And it's not quite making it to where it's not only not necessarily going to the wrong places, but at the wrong times, it's not making money for you. For example, I had a friend, have a friend named Sio that was explaining credit to me and credit cards, because I've always been taught from my parents that credit cards are awful. And I've heard this from other people too. Credit cards are awful. It's a company's way of getting your money because they charge you interest on money that they owe you so that you buy things you don't really need. If you really need something, you'll save up the money first and buy it with that money, not credit. You don't ever borrow money. Turns out they're wrong, unfortunately. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But they're wrong. And the way Theo explained it to me absolutely makes sense. And it's actually true, too. And that is with credit cards. Now, whether you get one at a low interest rate, maybe a higher interest rate for a little bit, or maybe even one where you have to pay a little bit up front, and then you kind of borrow your own money, you know, and you only do that for a little while. Because after a while, if you pay attention and play true to yourself, eventually the credit card company will see that you're responsible for the money that you borrow, and they will loan you their money because, of course, they're making the interest off of it. But here's the catch. Here's the caveat to it all. And again, this is true. Thank you again, CEO. That when you get a credit card, you should never, ever spend more than 25% of the card value. And when you do spend that 25% of the card's value, you pay it off that same month, at the end of the month. Okay? Every month. So the best thing to do, because it might not be a good idea to go out and buy clothes and go clothes shopping every month. Some people, I guess, do that, but I don't particularly feel like that's a wise investment in money. But the reason I don't feel like that's a wise investment is because you have clothes already that you can wear numerous times and mix and match and make different outfits and things like that, right? And have an ongoing wardrobe, unless you have like four items that you have to mix and match, then you definitely need new clothes. But you need to be creative with your clothes. The way to use the 25% in your account is to use it toward something that benefits you. Now, when I say benefit, I mean, it actually brings something back to you that's beneficial. And this is what CEO suggests to me, and I do, is use it for gasoline for my car. It's something I need, for sure. It's something I'm going to have to buy anyway, right? With my checking account. But here's the great news. Is that at the end of the month, when you pay that gasoline off, a little bit of interest, after a while, the credit card agency, not only doesn't charge you the interest because you've paid it off before the interest rolls in, but they also give you rewards, which means that you can get money from them. Are you listening to me? You can get money for saving money and not really spending money. How awesome is that, mom and dad, right? But don't go hog wild crazy and go on some freaky ass shopping spree. That's not going to cut it. And those are the people, the ones that go nuts and buy things on a whim that haven't given it adequate thought. You know, I've always had a rule that if it's over $50, that I have to. I can save it in a basket, like if I'm buying from Amazon, which is the death of me because it's automatic and you just have to hit a button and you sworn to purchase it, right? Oh my gosh, it's horrible. So for Amazon, I'll put it in my cart, right? And then I'll go to bed and I'll have thought about it that afternoon. And if I'm thinking about it a lot because it's something I really, really feel like I need, and I'm thinking about it so much that when I go to sleep, I'm thinking about it. Most times, I'll wake up knowing, with no doubt at all, if I really need that or if I really need to toss it out, at least for now, or just leave it in my basket. And here's the cool part is that I did it myself. I figured it out myself. But you can do that subliminally for yourself. And if that's not awesome, well, then I don't know what is. But there are some other things you can do. And that's establishing a budget. Now, there's a couple ways you can do that. And I'm sure you've all heard this before, but I'm going to go through it really quick. One is keeping your receipts and going through them on the weekends. When you keep your receipts, at the end of every day, pull them out of your wallet and put them in an envelope, whether it's by your computer that you go to every day, whether it's on your nightstand that you see every night, wherever it is, make sure it's a place you go to every night. Take out your receipts from your wallet and stick them in that envelope. And then when the weekend comes, you pull out those receipts and you keep track of it in your Google Docs account or whatever, you know, form you're using, an Excel sheet or what have you. Even if it's just a Word, if you don't know those numbers applications, just use a Word program, you know, and write down. Have some categories, even some columns if you can. Whether it's business, whether it's personal, and then put a hyphen beside it and say exactly what it was. For instance, say you got something at Costco. So you'd put it under the business. You got business and personal headings. Put it under business and then hyphen, and then you say like envelopes, comma, pens, comma, paper, comma, ink, something like that. And then the price. Okay. And this will benefit you. It seems tiresome and mundane at first, but here's what happens. After you add all of this up, when tax season comes around, you're able to deduct this, as well as a portion from your living quarters that you have dedicated as an office workspace. Parts to your computer, parts to your printer, ink, as I said before. All of the things that I just named off from Costco, the envelopes, all of the, those things that you use for business, have the potential of a portion of those being written off. And believe me, it adds up quick, really quick. So definitely worth it. Now, here's the other thing. If you don't have the ability and self-control, yes, I'm laughing because I'm talking about myself, because I did that for a while and it was not good. So what I ended up doing was using a computer program. They've got a lot of different computer programs also that can help you with that. And the one that I use is one that you pay for, and I think it's like $12, something like that, a month. And it's QuickBooks. And it does exactly that. Like it automatically, when I use my card, and I have three sources of money going in and out. I have two credit union accounts and a credit card. And so every time I make a purchase at all that's not cash, it goes through my account and it goes through Quicken or QuickBooks. Quicken. I don't remember what it is, Quicken or QuickBooks. And I think it's QuickBooks. At any rate, when it goes through there, it automatically goes through there. And then what I can do is say, put it in there that every time I go to this particular store, it's for business. And I can put that in there. And then every time that comes up on my card, it will automatically put it into business or whatever. And for gasoline, the same thing. And here's the totally cool part. You can say in the app, which percentage. So like you can say 25% of the gas that you used from this time was for business, and it'll put it there, and it'll put the other 75 in your personal stuff. So it figures it out for you and itemizes everything. And then at the end of the year, when you're declaring your taxes, you can use that. Now, it's still best at this point to let you know that you definitely want to keep your receipts. And still keep them, you know, in your wallet, put them in that envelope every night. store them in a storage unit, not a storage unit, but like in a drawer or something like that. And I would have mine by the month, you know, have 12 envelopes in there with the name of each month on them, just so that you can keep track. That way, if you lose something or whatever, you at least know what month to go to, right? You can write off things for business, such as your computer usage. You know, if you use the internet, a portion of that goes to your computer, you know, if you're using it however much you're using for business. So all these things add up. You can do automatic savings if you have a company that will take out a portion of your check before you even see it and put it into a savings account. That's awesome. And it's always good to start your retirement savings as early as possible. The 401k. A lot of companies, probably especially now with the economy like it is, they used to put in, they used to match whatever you put in, like 8%. If you put in 8%, they put in 8%. But then they started cutting back and putting like 50% of what you put in. So for your 8%, they put 4 in, right? But I think they're going back to the 8% again. I'm not, or however much they put in, some put in 5, right? But that's fantastic because then that's just automatic doubling your money. Who doesn't want to get paid for retiring? And then your loose change. My son has this thing about loose change. And if he gets 95 cents back in change, he'll hand it to me. He just does not like to carry change. And I'm sure I'm talking to some of you, you feel the same way. So I'm more than happy to take his change. And when I have enough change, I go down to the grocery store that has one of those change machines and just dump it in. And it gives me bills. And I bring those bills home and I put them away. Easy money. Easy money. It takes me all of 3 minutes to earn $25, right? Because somebody else didn't want to. And it drives me crazy that he does that. And when you're using these devices to save money, never, never, ever hold yourself prisoner to using these. You know, always leave yourself a little room. Once a week, once a month, probably once a month is better starting off, to just do something little, something small for yourself. Go see a movie, you know, go out to dinner. But don't do it a lot, because if you do, it's not special. And you want it to be special. You want it to be good, and you don't want it to cost a lot, because that defeats the whole purpose, doesn't it? And here's a couple more things that are awesome that I actually had to do. And you might need to too. Figure out if you have any subscriptions that haven't been canceled. Good luck finding out where they came from and the phone number to call them to cancel. Because I was getting an entrepreneur. I was getting entertainment. I was getting Newsweek, I was getting, oh my gosh, tons. Time magazine, I was getting probably 10 magazines. And if you think about this, they're like $54 a year. $54 a year for 10 magazines. You don't have to be a wizard to figure out that's over $500. Too much. Speaking of too much, and those needing to be canceled, which I did do. Saving money is totally worth it because I'm going to keep this short. Return checks. And this is all I'm going to say about that is just for this year, go to your banking account online and look at how much money has been lost just this year so far. How much money you've lost just from return checks. And if that's not a sign that you need to get your ass in gear, then something's wrong with you. Or you just don't have the problem that you maybe thought you had. But any money that goes to someone for overdraft or overdrawn checks is too much, isn't it? You don't want to give somebody money for doing nothing. The very last thing I want to point out, that's probably the biggest thing, is when you're buying something, especially something big, like say a barbecue grill, what, $700? We'll just say $500 just for the hell of it. $500 for a barbecue grill. It's kind of cheap, right? In money hours, just your job in particular, how much money do you make an hour? And how many hours would you need to work to buy that barbecue grill? And how many days would that be? So if someone told you, hey, you want that barbecue grill? Okay, I want you to go into work today and just work until that barbecue grill is paid off. And then you can go home. Would you be willing to do that? Think about that. And then I'm going to come back because we are going to talk about getting to that subconscious level, being able to speak to ourselves. And keep in mind, before you can speak to yourself, you have to know what you need to hear. Do you need to learn how to save money? Do you need to learn how to invest better? Do you need to learn how to do coupons better? There's no shame in couponing. Do you need to know how to say no when salespeople call you? When someone approaches you? Okay, all of these things. You find out what your weak spot is. And when I come back, we're going to talk about a really good way that will really help you dissolve a lot of this conflict that's painless. Be right back. Okay. MJ back again. And as promised, I'm going to give you some tips and pointers on some things that you can do that you won't even really have to think about making the decision when the time comes. Because you will have made it beforehand. Let me explain. I heard a story once and I think I was like 12 when I heard it. Something a long time ago because I'm much, much 40 years older than that now-ish. And the story goes like this. If you've already heard it, stop me. I'm just kidding, you can't stop me. Okay, this guy is a train engineer. And he's driving this train. And he's always had this idea to plan about what ifs. And as he was driving one day, he rounds the mountain. And as he rounds the mountain in the dusk, he sees this train horizontally across the tracks. It's obviously crashed or come off the tracks one way or another. And his partner next to him says, oh my gosh, we got to throw on the brakes. And he said, no, full speed ahead. And he turned everything up and he rushed ahead. And the other guy's like, no, you're crazy. And he said, no. He rushed ahead. And he plowed through the train and his train stayed on the tracks. Now, I don't know if anybody else was in the other train. That part never got discussed. But the point is, that his train stayed on the tracks. And the reality is, if his train hadn't stayed on the tracks, and there were people in the other train, probably both trains would have collided and everyone would have died, right? Anyway. So the engineer, his co-pilot, whatever, co-pilot engineer, whatever he is, asked him, how did you know to do that? And he said, well, I play a lot of scenarios in my mind all the time. And that was one that I've given a lot of thought to. And I've given it so much thought, so many times, that when it came time to execute it, I innately just knew what to do. And you know, martial arts is the same way. Years ago, I was taking Kenpo and didn't even get very far in the classes, really. But at one point, I got in a bit of a tussle with a boyfriend that was much bigger than me. Thank goodness he was drunk. But he grabbed me by the shoulders and started shaking me and screaming at me. And I'd been to these classes enough that without even thinking long enough to be frightened, which if I had stopped to consider this guy's huge, he's easily got 60 pounds on me and he could squish me like a bug if he wanted to, if I'd have thought that at all and the reality of it, much like saving money, I would have been like a deer in headlights. But because I'd practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced without thinking, without blinking, without sweating, my left foot came forward so I could balance myself. My right hand, or both of my hands, came together like I was praying in the middle, came up and opened, knocking his hands off my shoulders. My foot came up and my heel of my foot hit him in the stomach and kicked him out. And granted, if I would have stayed there, like, hey, dude, the battle's on, I would have died. But he was drunk, intoxicated. So he staggered back and it gave me enough time to run out the door and call the police, you know, and do the things I needed to do to be safe. But if I hadn't had that knowledge ahead of time, who knows what would have happened? He had a tendency of having blackouts to where he wouldn't remember things. Of course, the next day I got my things and moved out. But the point is planning ahead helps you do exactly that. So what we need to do is put these thoughts of saving money into your head so that it becomes second nature, so you don't even have to think, well, gosh, do I want to save money? Gosh, do I want to buy this? And it's not even saving money, okay? Because we almost have a negative thought about saving money. Saving money means sacrifice. To a lot of people. To me, it does. To me, saving money means I have to give up things that I want. Does it mean that to you? That if you're saving money, you have to sacrifice? It shouldn't. It should mean you're gaining financial freedom and you're one step closer. It should mean you're gaining money. Your money is multiplying. You're not losing money when you do this. So this is what I want you to do. Every night before you go to bed, you're going to do a type of meditation. Now, don't get freaky on me thinking, oh no, this is weird stuff. It's not weird. It's totally natural, actually, because everybody breathes, right? I think you do. Let me check. Put your mouth closed. No, I'm kidding. But it's breathing. It's closing your eyes, which comes pretty natural. In fact, closing your eyes is easier than opening them. You don't have to hold your eyes open, which is why when you're tired, your eyes just kind of close, right? So all these things are natural. It's just you giving in to them. Perfect. Easy peasy. Okay? So, before you go to bed, either lying in bed comfortably, preferably on your back, arms to your sides, legs straight down. First thing you're going to want to do is straighten your neck up. That means lifting your chin up a little tiny bit and lengthening your neck, pulling your shoulders back, and feeling your spine elongate. Trust me, this will help you with money. It doesn't seem like it, but it will. Okay? So after you do that, what that does is it opens your airways. So with your airways open, or your airway open, I want you to open your eyes, have your eyes open, and look up. Not straight up, but upwards in your toward your forehead. Look up. And while you're looking up, it sounds like a lot of things, but it's really easy. Keep your body straight. Chin up. Not so it's tucked down, but up a little bit. Eyes up toward your eyebrows. And breathe in through your mouth. Through your nose. The deepest, most amount of air you can possibly take into your lungs. Like when you think you can't take any more, take more. You hear what I'm saying? Like make sure those lungs are full of air. And when they are, let the air out slowly. If you need to do the thing like you learned in choir back in high school, remember that? Do that because it helps keep the air from coming out really fast. But if you don't need to do that, or your wife or husband or whatever gets annoyed, you don't have to do that. But do that and let it out really slow. You can do that too. And do that. And then after you've done that, breathe in again. Eyes are still up there. Count a couple seconds, maybe four. As much air as you can hold in those lungs. And then exhale slowly. Do it a third time. If you're driving right now, you should not be doing this, by the way. Okay. Inhale through your nose. And exhale. At this point, you should be feeling a tingling in your hands. If you're taking a deep enough breath, you should feel tingling in your lower legs and feet as well. There should be a heaviness in your hands, in the palms of your hands, toward your wrist, and in the backs of your feet where your Achilles is. Okay? Go ahead and close your eyes, is what you'll do. And then when you're like this, you are extremely comfortable. And you're going to pay attention to your breathing, and you'll notice. You will notice your breathing which is back to normal now. You're no longer doing the hissy thing. You'll notice your breathing is a lot slower. Your heart rate has slowed down. Your focus, which is the best part, has become more in tune and not focused on anything else except your breathing. Right? So with that in mind, you're going to be thinking to yourself that money is a tool. Money is a tool. It's only a tool. How are you going to use this tool? You're going to use it in positive ways. You're going to use it to make your life better. You're going to use it in ways that are going to benefit you, not just today, ever. It's going to benefit you for days, for weeks, for months, for years. It's going to benefit you, really benefit you. Okay. And as you do this, I also want you to think about the amount of control that you have over your money. Do stores have control over your money? Do salespeople have control over your money? The money that you earn? The money that you work for? Are you giving someone else control of your money? Why? Why? If you don't have an answer as to why that's legitimate, then it's nonsensical. Now let's turn it around. Do you have a reason for not giving salespeople money? Sometimes you might have a good reason, but I'll bet 90% of the time you don't. Even charities. Now, I believe in charities, and I think everyone should be charitable. But research first. And don't give more than you can without taking money from your own people and their well-being. If you have to give what you don't have to offer, you're not taking care of your own. Like the story about the woman on the airplane. I think everybody's heard it by now. The woman on the airplane, and the airplane's going down, and she has an infant on her lap. And there's only one air mask above them. And she has to decide, is she going to put the mask on the baby and give the baby air? Or is she going to put the mask on herself and give herself air? And most mothers would say, I'm going to save my baby. But they clearly haven't done the whole train scenario where they thought about it ahead of time, because if they do put the mask on the baby, eventually the mother will die, her hand will fall from the baby's face, and the baby will die anyway. So that's one of those scenarios she needs to think about ahead of time to understand she needs to breathe, and then the baby, and then her, and then the baby. For it to work, thinking ahead of time. And that's what you are going to do. It's called self-control. over the money you work for. The money that you're going to enjoy for longer periods of time. Not for trips to Disneyland for 10 days. Not for going to Chuck E. Cheese, the pizza parlor, for 2 hours. You're going to save that money. You're going to plan a trip. If you do plan a trip, you're going to plan how long you're gone. You're going to plan what amount of money will go to food, what amount of money will go to entertainment, what amount of money will go to the room, what amount of money will go to gas. You will plan out every step of that vacation and stick to it. You are in control. And if it fails, it's your failure, but it won't. Because if you do this exercise every night and consider the benefits that you'll have from doing this, and take a moment right now, every night, something different at this point, you're going to think of one thing that you're going to enjoy this month. That's not extravagant, the way you're going to reward yourself. The small thing, a movie, dinner, something like that. Miniature golfing. And then you're going to say that to yourself in detail, how it feels, what it smells like, how the golf club feels in your hands, all of that, the sound you hear while you're golfing, if it's golfing, right? And then the big thing you're saving for, if it's a house, the same thing. Use your senses. Imagine what it feels like, how the air around you changes when you walk through your front door. Imagine the carpet or the hardwood flooring under your feet. Imagine the sounds echoing off the walls. And who's talking to you? Feel how the tension in the air changes, how the temperature changes. All of those things. And do that with every sense that you have, all 5 senses, try to use them and just relax into that and keep thinking about that and keep thinking about those things that you're going to get while you continue saving your money. And you do this every night and you'll get it, guaranteed. So that is it for Waking Lions this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, this is MJ Brewer signing off. And you are worth it. Because it is time to focus on you.